B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, good morning. Welcome into the DraftKings Over Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifschitz is here. Tucker Silva also as well here till 9 o'clock today. Wow. What a crazy last couple of days here. Obviously, there's the opening of football, NFL football camps. There's the Major League Baseball trade deadline. There was the NBA draft that happened this week. The NHL free agency has happened as well. There were 10 all-star players that were traded at the trade deadline. People that were on the block eventually got shipped out. Hey, the Celtics made a few trades yesterday that we'll certainly get into, and we'll check out all the team's odds based off the trades that happened so far. So usually we start with what happened last night. I don't really have anything. You know, there's not really much on the board besides a bunch of these baseball moves. So I don't know, Dan, have you looked? Is anything... I know John Ewing, our buddy, he usually posts, moves after the trade and stuff like that. I guess in Major League Baseball, was there any big line movement with any of these teams, maybe like the Padres, when it came to some of the big trades that have happened?
Yeah, there was some major movement, not with the Red Sox, not surprisingly. The Dodgers went from plus 375 to win the title down to 275.
Ooh.
It was 300 last night, moved to 275 this morning. So that's about a dollar move.
They get Scherzer and Trey Turner.
And Danny Duffy.
And Danny Duffy.
They pretty much picked up, sounds like, for nothing. So Dodgers big move. Padres from 9-1 down to 7.5-1 down to 7-1 this morning. So some big moves there. Giants from 12-1 to 10-1. Yankees from 25-1 to 22-1. That's now 20-1 in most shops. Obviously the opposite effect for the Cubs and Nationals. Big teams who sold off. Not a surprise there. Not a big ton of movement on the Mets. I know they acquired Javi Baez, but there wasn't a ton of movement on that. Same with the Rays, who added Nelson Cruz. Not a ton of movement there. And then you get to the Red Sox, who went backwards. And I know that people are, there are the people out there who are saying, oh, they didn't do anything. They got Kyle Schwarber. Okay. Schwarber has been hurt for the entire month of July. Expected to be out a couple more weeks. I thought it was only going to be a week, but it sounds like it's going to be at least 2 weeks, probably more. They added two relievers who, in my opinion, are probably your seventh inning type guys. I mean, I don't think you're putting Austin Davis in a high leverage situation by any means. You're hopefully, trying to transform him. And Chaim's done a good job with that. Pivetta is kind of a guy who they picked up in the same sort of ilk and done a good job with. But again, if you're a Red Sox fan, I think you have a right to be extremely frustrated. The Red Sox, just so you understand, in the AL East, minus 120 to minus 125. So, a little bit. They are down, by the way, this morning at minus 110 after their loss to the Rays. AL pennant, they went from plus 475 to 450. That is back up to 475 and actually touching 500 in some shops this morning. After their loss to the Rays last night, and the Red Sox went the other way in the World Series, went from 11-1 to 12-1, which is now 12.5 right now, plus 1250 in most shops right now. So, yeah, the Red Sox added Kyle Schwarber, and what books are telling you is they actually went backwards.
Well, I don't even know if it's the books, right? I mean, just think about the Yankees in general.
I think it's the books.
No, I hear you, but, a lot of these teams are like, psh, they don't think the Red Sox are that good. They think they're beatable. The Yankees clearly think they can catch up. The Rays bolstered their lineup. Like, the White Sox added Craig Kimbrel, which I mean, they already have a closer. I don't know if they needed them. But,
I mean, if you
go for it, right?
If you can't acquire an elite starter, one way to counter that is to shorten all the games you play. So basically, they now have three closers. So, I mean, you've gone from playing nine-inning games to essentially playing six-inning games against the White Sox.
But all the teams made at least multiple moves. Like, they didn't make just one move, even though I know if you want to look at the Red Sox, they made three. But, like, come on. But the fact that these other teams, you know, considering we talked about this about 2 weeks ago. If you look at every single division, right, the American League East is open. I mean, the Rays are right there, half game back. I thought the Yankees are toast, personally. It's 7.5 back. Even Toronto's making trades. But the White Sox, that's a lock. And what the Astros, I think, right now might have the best depth.
Yeah, I didn't mention the Astros, by the way. They moved. They slightly moved towards them as well. So, again, it does feel like so did Oakland, by the way. I didn't mention them either. But it feels like every competitor, Joe, moved in the right direction somewhat, with the exception of the Boston Red Sox. The Mariners moved up. The Toronto Blue Jays moved up. I'm just kind of looking across here. The Mets really didn't move, so I guess you can say, oh, well.
Yeah, Baez.
The Braves moved up. I mean, everyone moved up. The Red Sox went backwards. That's the reality of the situation. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it's frustrating on paper, or the fact that they didn't make a move. But to me, like, I still think the Rays are probably the team to beat. And I only say that because they were injured all year. They've dealt with so much adversity. Their pitching's been rough of late. I mean, they're turning it around. I think Cruz was a good addition. I still think they're the team to beat, and I still think the Sox make the playoffs. Like, I would still bet on that even today. What's upsetting is this. For a team that has, you know, 30 comeback wins this season, for a team that's basically run by their manager, right? You got your middle of the lineup, and then your manager makes the rest of the moves. You've had 30 comeback wins, and, like, you're in it. The team has showed you the last, I don't know, week with some of these, like, going back to that game against the Yankees on a Sunday and then winning the next night on a Verdugo three-run homer in the eighth or whatever. You know, the team has showed you that they're like, hey, we want to get better. We need to get better. They didn't get to the spots that they needed improvement on. Like, hey, I like Schwarber, right? I do. Is he a first baseman? Hell no. That's the spot they needed. They probably needed another pitcher in that rotation. They didn't do it.
I mean, at least another pen arm, at the very least.
The only thing I like about this is that they didn't give up any big prospects, and that's Heim Bloom's big thing. You know, Aldo Ramirez, what was he, number 8 and 19 at some places is like their top Red Sox top prospect. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think they actually overpaid for Schwarber in terms of prospects. I mean, the rumors out of the Sox is that they didn't really like him, which is why they felt okay giving him up. But, I mean, in my opinion, he's a very good prospect. He's the kind of guy that you want to keep in your system. So I didn't even like the trade that much. I think it's okay. I definitely appreciate them trying to go out and do something. But I got to be honest with you. It's very clear the Red Sox did not want to cross the luxury threshold unless it was for someone, you know, specific, or they were doing something specific.
Scherzer.
I don't know. I don't know if it's Scherzer. Obviously, you saw what Jimmy Stewart tweeted yesterday. There was a rumor that it would be Eric Hosmer and elite prospect Robert Hassel, who was a top 10 pick in last year's draft. Very coveted around the league. Elite prospect that it would be, you know, the Red Sox would take a majority of Hosmer's contract. He would be a significant upgrade at first over what you have, in my opinion. And you get an elite prospect and basically get him for nothing. I think you maybe send out something very small, probably not even a prospect, something, you know, maybe you're looking at like, you know, maybe that's where Michael Chavis goes or something like that. That didn't come to fruition because the Padres, in order for that to happen, would have had to acquire Craig Kimbrel. He went to the Chicago White Sox. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that there was just a lot of things. And unfortunately, The frustration right now, I think, is legitimate that you didn't invest in a team that has played way above their head, and that's fair, but it's baseball. If this was the NFL or even the NBA, and I guess in the NBA it's not a good example this year, but, you know, I'd say 99% of the time, you know, you have a team that's playing above their head and, like, you know, like the Phoenix Suns or something, that team doesn't win the title. Like, I get that. You know, you want to get on Danny Ainge for not adding to teams. I get it. I mean, the Celtics were never really a title contender, but it's baseball. It's not basketball. It's not football. Like, anyone can win. You get hot, you win. Like, that's part of the game. And it is frustrating that I didn't feel like this was a team worth investing in. And it certainly feels like that part of it comes from the ownership group. And I'm just going to be honest here. Since that ownership group has bought Liverpool FC, things have been different. The investments have mainly been towards Liverpool. And yes, they have a high payroll. And yes, they're willing to go to the threshold every year, but they're not willing to go above it. And that never used to be the truth. And it is frustrating, in my opinion. Ever since Liverpool FC was purchased, that is the priority, in my opinion. I think we saw another example of that yesterday. And honestly, I think it's... I know people love John Henry in this town. He's brought four titles, yada, yada, yada. I think it's time for them to sell the team if they're not going to go and they're not going to spend the money to win titles anymore.
I blame LeBron, right? LeBron says, I'm kidding. Yeah, okay. But what I mean...
I got you rattled for a second. Yeah,
there,
I was just saying, I was actually going to defend LeBron. I was going to say, it's nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it.
I mean, at least LeBron says, hey... Buddy Hield or Russell Westbrook. I think they make the right. I don't know.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, I know. Well, I just wanted to, I thought that was funny. Yeah. This little chuckle. I don't know if Tucker. I don't know if it moved for Tucker back there.
No, it didn't at all.
Nah. No.
Because I'm pissed.
Yeah, see? See, I mean, listen, I think if you're a Red Sox fan, and I know there's Red Sox fans out there, what are you talking about? They got an all-star. Yeah, they got a guy who doesn't actually naturally fit their lineup and is a good bat. But he's hurt. He's not going to be playing for a couple weeks, so you've already lost some time there.
It sounds like they're just going to experiment with him at first.
Yeah.
It's just like, really? We're going to do that at this stage in the season? We're going to experiment?
It sucks. I'm sorry.
Cool, man.
We talked about this yesterday on the morning show. I hate first-base experiments. I hate them. Like, remember when, like, oh, David Ortiz, da, da, da. David Ortiz at least played first base. Like, you know what I'm saying? That was the position he played. You know? And granted, I know he wasn't great at it, but he never made mistakes. Never. Like, ever. But this kid's never, he was a catcher that plays outfield. That's exactly what this dude is. And, like, I don't know. They think that it's an easy transition. I mean, Franchi Cordero's playing over there. You know? He doesn't seem like a guy who could learn anything in there. There he is in 2 weeks. I just hate the move.
Does not exactly have a high baseball IQ Franchi Cordero.
Yeah, no. I was going to say that, like, these teams that are good, they have good defensive replacements late in games. And I know this is minuscule, but, like, what is their lineup? Who would be their, like, defensive first baseman?
I mean, I'm guessing that...
I like Dahlbeck, but he's not our natural first baseman.
I'm guessing it's probably Marwin Gonzalez.
When he comes back, yeah.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's probably the case. I mean, I think maybe... Honestly, I think I'd rather try Kike Hernandez.
So I was thinking that. But a 5'10" is that...
I mean, it's not... It's definitely not preferable. It's not desirable. But, I mean, again, you know, we're talking about, you know, like...
Castillo got hurt over there playing, by the way. They put him at first, and he got hurt.
Arroyo, you mean?
Arroyo. Sorry.
Yeah, he was doing the splits game.
Sorry, my fault. Yeah, Christian Arroyo.
Yeah, again, it's an easier position to play, for sure. But, yeah, I think it's naturally okay to be frustrated with the Red Sox and what they did. And you heard the press conference yesterday. It sounded like the Red Sox were only willing to go over the threshold for a specific player.
Why do they say that? Just pull the Ainge. Eh.
I mean, I'd rather him tell me the truth than BS me.
You feel that?
Well, didn't they pull an Ainge? Well, they were like, well, we were in on the name, but couldn't come to an agreement.
They made moves, though.
Kind of. I mean,
not the necessary moves.
They traded for Evan Fournier while someone else traded for the big fish. I mean that's what I think.
There
that's
you
what
go. It feels okay, like. All right, that's a good.
You know they traded for Evan Fournier and someone else was out there trading for Aaron Gordon and you know the I mean not that Aaron Gordon's significantly better but you know what I'm getting like you know Fournier is more of a secondary addition, and he was good when he was healthy and he played here. But, you know, and I think Schwarber will be too. I just don't think that – I just think every team around you got, you know, to a point significantly better, and I think you got marginally better. And I think that, you know, I think that's a fair way to put it.
I wanted to bring this up last night. Looking around the league, the teams that made trades, right? Toronto made a trade. They won 6-4 last night. Red Sox lose 7-3. Three home runs for the Rays last night? Martin Perez stinks again.
Sucks.
The Mets made that big trade for Baez. They lose 6-2. The Yankees get a home run from Aaron Rizzo.
Anthony,
the hell is going on with me today? What is going on?
Tony Rizzo there.
What's going on with me?
I don't know.
Just come on.
Too early for you, Joe?
Aaron Judge and Anthony Rizzo. I don't know.
Imagine that, baby.
Maybe that's what it was.
Anthony Rizzo, who I left-handed.
And then he had another big hit last night. Again, there were a bunch of people talking about the Joey Gallo trade. I hated the Gallo trade for the Yankees. Hate it. Think it's one of the worst trades they made. Love the Rizzo trade because the Yankees, what do they do poorly? They strike out too much. Gallo, I think he's maybe leading the league in strikeouts. He's up there, top five. And they get on base a ton, but they don't put the ball in play. Gallo doesn't put the ball in play, but he gets on base a ton. It's like the exact thing that the Yankees do well. They just added more of that. The exact thing they don't do well, they added more of that in Gallo.
Well, I mean, it's much needed that they got two big lefty bats, which is what they needed.
I know that. And again, get that. But like Rizzo is a
huge
guy. Rizzo is a guy who puts the ball in play. Like, I think Rizzo is going to be a more and more important, more important factor in that lineup than Gallo is going to be.
Oh, what about Schwarber versus Rizzo though?
Rizzo.
I think Rizzo will be.
No, but who will make a bigger impact?
I think Rizzo will because he's going to be in that lineup.
He did, right?
He's going to be in that lineup every day.
Yeah.
And yeah, Rizzo got their first run off a solo home run, you know, was the reason they probably scored their second run. He was that big hit and, that basically won them the game. So, I mean, yeah, it was, in my opinion, it was very big. Now, Fernando Tatis got hurt last night in the Padres game.
Yeah, dislocated his shoulder.
Again,
third time he hurt his shoulder this
again,
year.
Yeah, it's not, he definitely needs offseason surgery. That's bad. Who knows how long he's out again? But I mean, again, it's just frustrating. It's just I'm frustrated. I wish they would have gotten out and at least gotten a good bullpen arm. Like, if you got a good bullpen arm, I'm not talking about Kimbrel. I'm just talking about someone who's good, Kendall Graveman, something along those lines. Like a good bullpen arm makes you feel better.
Yeah, the Cubs guy there, Ryan
Tapera. Tapera would have
been something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Anything. Okay, fine. Just a good bullpen arm.
Hanson Robles.
Robles sucks.
He's a flyer.
What was the guy they got
from Pittsburgh?
No. Remember he was a lefty. He had a weird, funny name. What was his name? They got a guy. The Red Sox got a lefty a few years ago. I'll get his name.
Okay.
Because we all...
you and
names. Abad. Fernando Abad.
Oh, Abad, yeah.
Abad. Yep. He was Abad.
Yeah, he was Abad.
He was
Abad.
It does feel like Davis and Robles are marginal... If upgrades at all, marginal upgrades and on the periphery.
They're flyers.
Yep. That's what it feels like. So, yeah, it's frustrating. And even if they did something, one more move, like, again, not asking them to give up elite prospects, just like, can you make, do something in the pen, do something in the lineup, like, and not asking you to, dump your prospects, but it's frustrating.
Yankees just like, he's not like a tremendous pitcher by any means, but they like, they swung a deal for Andrew Heaney.
Here's the deal. Sucks.
No, he does, but he's another arm.
They do the deals. We talked about this on the podcast the other night. Like when the Red Sox were in their heyday, they'd make a trade to do it. Like Eric Gagne, they didn't need him. He sucked, but they did it. You know what I mean? They went for it. They tried. We talked about the Steve Pierce deal was a great deal.
Right.
To be honest with you, I think Eovaldi was even more important.
And there you go. But one was the MVP. They both could have been the MVP of the World Series.
They were two key pieces.
But what I'm saying, like those moves were great. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with the Red Sox because, they'll be scrutinized. I mean, Heimblum's running a big market. He's got a champagne like payroll with a beer budget is the way they're running. And that don't fly around here. It just doesn't. And just to bring up one more thing, the other teams that, so the Dodgers lose last night 6-5, bad. And then the Astros beat up on the Giants. Who had a comeback win last night? Oh, I think it was the Diamondbacks.
The,
yeah.
The Brewers did too.
Yeah. Oh, and then the White Sox rallied too late in the, so I'm just, the teams that made big moves, some of them, so, you know, the Yankees, I think, truly stands out. The White Sox continue to win.
Mariners won, White Sox won, Cardinals won, A's won, Dodgers lost, Astros beat the Giants, two competitors there, and Padres lost. So, I mean, just, and the Red Sox lost. But a lot of contending teams won last night.
And I know we're late, but just think about this for a second. The Red Sox made moves, and the team came out like that. Like,
it's a big weekend for them.
Like they came out like that yesterday, and you know, supposedly you're going to be excited about the moves you made. That team wasn't excited about the moves they made.
No, they just felt deflated.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. They showed you they can walk off and win games against good teams. They've shown you this and say, hey, help us. We're good. And they didn't. And this is what happened last night. So we'll see how they bounce back today. We're just catching you up on everything that happened. That was just baseball. The hell happened in the NBA last night? Well, we'll get into that as well. And we're going to be featuring another football conference. The Fun Belt, baby. Sun Belt. We don't even need to talk about the rest of the Fun Belt. Only one team to be talking about. And I'm sure you all know who it is. We'll get into that later on here on the show. It's 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet you're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, turn it on. I need something to get me going. Like a little blues.
Blues?
No, funky.
I was going to say, this is not blues. This is the funk.
Funky blues. I just feel like it's like...
Yeah, it's like a 70s just kind of feel.
Sitting here, just betting on sports. Sitting here, talking all the sorts. Yeah. Trade deadline in the NBA. Okay, never mind. I'll stop.
No, keep going.
No.
You sure?
Yeah. Ah. Celtics. They made a trade.
Two trades.
Dan Ainge still didn't get paid. I don't know. I'm done. Yeah, I just like that beat now. I don't know what it is now. I like that beat. We did baseball, blah. So here's my question now, Dan, because we're going back to the odds, because that's the name of the show. It's over-under. Did the odds change for any teams in the NBA following the draft this week?
Yeah. So, I mean, there was some marginal movement, nothing crazy. The big move was on the Lakers, which on the show, we talked about a couple weeks ago, and I said they're going to get better. They have some stuff up the sleeve. There's a lot of rumors going on about them. Russell Westbrook was just part of it. There's still rumor that there's at least one more very good player coming, and potentially some other rotational players who are very good, and a potentially a close to star player who might be signing under market. There's a lot of rumors still going around about the Lakers right now. So, I mean, but the big move, obviously, Lakers go from 5-1, now down to 3.5-1 some places, plus 375.
I think it's the way to go. I heard somebody, I don't know who said it, but because I know you mentioned it's probably the time to bet them now and take them, but someone mentioned that if you were like, you know, you'd put them in your cart, like if you were like shopping this weekend, that'd be one of the ones you put in your cart.
I think it's late now. I mean, I think you missed a good price. If you took it when we told you to, I think you'd be looking good at, you know, 5-1 or whatever. But now, I mean, 3.5-1? I'm not. I don't think that you're looking great on 3.5-1 with the Nets there. 5-1, I can understand, because at least, you know, if you're in a title fight with the Nets there. I mean, it's going to be close. You're going to be close to even money. You know, the Nets might be favored. If, you know, 3.5-1, good. You know, you're probably not being able to hedge that in terms of the whole way out. 5-1, you can ride that puppy. So I think you missed it. If you didn't listen to us a couple weeks ago, I think you missed the Lakers train. Sorry.
And we didn't see the Golden State Warriors make that move with their 2 first-round picks.
I mean, Woj tweeted out that they were talking trade, and it sounded like they were talking potentially about a Ben Simmons trade down to the wire. It never happened, but I think Simmons was a big target of theirs, and you know, didn't happen, and you know, it doesn't mean it won't happen. Just it hasn't happened yet. So I think it's always entirely possible. You know, it's the Sixers have been asking for a bucket load for that guy, and they haven't gotten it yet, and they're not going to find someone to give them that much. But you know, Simmons still holds really good value around the league, despite what all the NBA fans and, you know, the Celtics fans think, and they laugh about it, and I understand it. But yeah, the Simmons still holds pretty good value. So you know, that's the way I think. I think he'll get traded. It just depends on for what.
So obviously the Lakers made that big move. It's huge. Warriors didn't. I know we talked about that already. When you look at the Eastern Conference, Brooklyn, you know, traded Landry Shamet, who I think is a nice player. He's been moved now a couple of times.
He really didn't do anything for them. In fact, if you want to make an argument, I think he was a negative player for them in the playoffs.
Hmm. But looking at all the teams, I like Jalen Suggs to Orlando.
Oh, I think that's the worst pick in the top five.
Oh, I feel like he should have went before, though.
Nope. I mean, we'll find
out. We'll be on watch now.
We'll find out. I do not like Jalen Suggs. Listen, I love Jalen Suggs as a college player, but I don't like Jalen Suggs as an NBA prospect.
I feel like he's a nice NBA point guard. You know? He's of that.
I think he'll be a star. I think he'll be like
Chris Paul. Like,
oh, know. God, he's not Chris Paul. I hope he's not Chris Paul. Chris Paul is the worst type of person. So happy he lost the finals. I certainly do not think Jalen Suggs will be Chris Paul. I think you have a chance for the top four to be insanely good. Like, insanely good. But I think Suggs is going to be the odd man out at five. And, yeah. I don't know. I felt that there were teams that did well. By the way, my Bulls, the Bulls got Ayo Dosunmu.
Yeah.
That at pick number 38. That was my guy. That was who I want the Celtics to take very badly. Love that kid. You want to talk about a guy who's going to have incredible odds for rookie of the year that no one is talking about? Drop a quarter of a unit on Ayo Dosunmu, and the odds aren't out yet. So when they are, you can bet your bottom dollar I'll be PPing that. So that would be a little bit away. I also probably am looking at Jalen Green as well.
Yeah, and I like the Knicks guy, Jericho Sims. Who's it, Quentin Grimes? Yep. I know they made a bunch of trades here, but they're sitting at $50 million in cap space.
Oh yeah. By the way, we did pretty well in the draft. The Book night under 9.5. He falls to 11.
Can you believe?
Well,
that?
Suggs goes 5. If Suggs doesn't go 5, and they end up with Scottie Barnes at 5, which is what, you know, most people thought was going to happen, I think Book night goes 8. Mm. And I think the reason the Magic didn't take Book night at 8 is because they took Suggs at 5. So I think that that changed the outcome of that.
And the Franz Wagner, I can't believe that one.
I think Wagner probably falls to 10 or 11 if Barnes goes 5 instead of 4. So I think that kind of had a chain of reaction for us. Kuminga goes 7. There was some information that was out there that I'd received that Kuminga was going 7 no matter what. So I felt pretty good about that. Kispert, I told you, was going to go over.
I think I hit Mitchell and I lost Wagner. Yep. And,
you hit Mitchell. And you lost
the other one. Wagner and Buchner. That's right. Yep. And Luca Garza was drafted. Dude, if you just think about it.
I think he went under, right?
Yeah, he went to Detroit.
Yeah, 52 or something.
But they got Cade Cunningham. And just think about this for a second. The Detroit Pistons got Cade Cunningham and Luca Garza.
Yep.
But like, you know, look how far apart they were. I don't know. I'm going to root for Garza forever. I will root for that guy forever. He's probably going to get lost in Detroit.
That's my DeSumo. I'm going to root for DeSumo big time.
Well, the Bulls probably use him. I mean, they always have flashy guards all the time like this.
I love me some Ayo DeSumo. I do.
And I guess it's worth getting into the Celtics here while we're up against it, so we can.
Why don't we get the Celtics on the other side?
Yeah, just quickly. So with the 45th pick, they take this kid out of Paris, Juhan.
Drafting stash.
Juhan. All right, so I read up a little bit more on the kid. I didn't like the pick when it first happened. I'm like, what?
The drafting stash guy. They have a roster.
Yeah, I just. Yeah. No, and it's fine. If you want to stash a guy, that's great. Jan Mador, what's he, a point guard too? We got 2 point guards now as stashes?
I mean, Mador's coming over this year. So that's very much what it sounds like there.
So, whatever. It's the 45th pick, right? It's the way you got to look at it. I mean, they traded the 16th because they didn't care who was there.
I mean, what else did you expect them to do there? They don't run for anybody.
I thought it's draft and stash.
You got to.
And we talked about it on the podcast. I thought that made sense.
Well, the cap. Well, they don't want to draft any more guys to take up salary cap space or guaranteed spots. So
I thought it was fine. What they were doing, it's fine, dude. It's a second round pick. Who cares? They're lotto shots.
I will say this though:
if I was a team in the NBA taking second round picks, I'd pick almost all draft and stashes. Like literally, that's all I would do.
There's a few guys that I can't believe weren't drafted. One of them, Sam Hauser, who made the Celtics. Remember, I talked about Hauser Bros.
He signed with the Celtics.
Yeah. He signed. He actually, dude, he could have signed with anybody he wanted.
Apparently, he had agreed to a deal with Miami and backed out.
Yeah, exactly. He even got more money, and then backed out, went to Boston. For those who don't know, Sam Hauser played at Marquette with his brother. They both transferred out. Joey went to Michigan State. Hauser went to Virginia. He was like one of the star players in Virginia. And I remember for a fact, he hit a big three to cover. They were 2-point favorites. It was a tie game. And he hit the three, and we covered. And I was pumped. And I'm like, you, Sam Hauser, you are good. And I am in on Sam Hauser.
He sucks.
It's one bucket. Joe's all in because he covered.
No. He averaged 18 points a game.
He is not an NBA player. I'm telling you,
he will be a shooter in this league.
I do not think so.
They said the same about Aaron Nesmith. So, yeah.
All right, let's get to the Celtics.
Yeah, Celtics.
And then the Bruins.
Oh.
And then the Bruins. Oh. And I know Ty Anderson and Ryan Johnson are on after us. Oh. You should listen to them. I'm going to be honest. Ty and Ryan are going to have to do a hell of a lot of convincing today because it does not look good, and Vegas has very much reflected that. It's gone the other way now 2 days straight.
I heard Dan say, I'm going to be honest, 5 times today. I want him to lie to me.
I'm not going to be honest. The Bruins are going to be good next year. I lied to you. There you go.
I'm not going to be honest. The Bruins are going to be good. They're going to bring back the whole team, and they're going to be good. And I would tell you, Really?
I'm getting real close.
We can talk about that.
I'm real close to boarding the Fire Don Sweeney train. I'm inches away from jumping on that.
All right, we'll talk about the Celtics, what they did, and we got to talk about the Fun Belt as well.
Yep. Nah, I think next hour. 8 o'clock.
All right. We'll do this. It's just there's so much time. So many topics.
So many things to talk about. Not enough time. 2 hours. Jeez. We need like 4 hours. You know.
It's been a long week, huh?
I feel like you've had a rough week.
Oh, it's been a rough week.
Rough week for Joe.
This is a long mornings. The mornings, man. It's the mornings.
It's the grind.
It's the mornings. How the hell do the Angels get the two best players in the world and they suck? They have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and they suck.
Well, Trout hasn't played.
Whatever. They suck. They can never be good. You know, that's a guy I would trade. He's a guy that if it was healthy, I'd trade him. I'd like ask for like 9 players. I'd ask for like the whole diamond. Like I want you're gonna give me every position.
You mean your starting 9, sir?
the starting 9 of your best prospects at every position. Anyways, I'm just yeah.
Hey, can we go to break?
All right, bye. Break.
The DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Eager. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Put your man pipe up. The DraftKings Over Under Show. But hit it one time, I'm a piper. Hit it 2 times, I'm a wifer. I don't know the lyrics. Anyways, so Danny Ainge was the general manager, or the president of basketball operations. And then he said, I'm going to leave. And then Brad Stevens goes, hey, I'll take the job. Because he was probably going to get canned too. And he takes over and he's made moves. He traded Kemba Walker. He said, hey, Kemba, get out of here. And he did. And then he said, Tristan Thompson, we don't like you either.
Tristan and Kemba, by the way, were best friends.
So, all right. They traded Tristan Thompson. I think it was a 3-way deal. I don't really know the specifics of it.
Tristan went to Sacramento. They traded a guard back to Atlanta. The Celtics received Chris Dunn, a 2nd-round pick, and Bruno Fernando from Maryland. And they took Dunn in with the Cantor TPE, and they've created another TPE from the Tristan Thompson trade, so they get like a $9 million TPE and took in done with the $5 million TPE.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't care what anybody says, because if you don't like this, you don't know what you're talking about. And I don't do that often. But you traded Tristan Thompson, who wasn't going to work here.
Tristan Thompson was, in my opinion, the worst player on the Celtics last year. That is... Because of the off-the-court stuff, because of he wasn't good on the court, and the off-the-court stuff was bad. He was a mess here, and I told you that from the start. I'm going to take a little victory lap there. He sucked here. I'm happy he's gone. It was a hell of a good
When he finally got in shape, he played better. And he was the guy who said regular season doesn't matter, and then the team listened to him, you know?
He sucked.
Yeah, it was a bad signing. It was a bad signing, and so wasn't Jeff Teague.
Another bad, more bad decisions by Danny Ainge. Ainge sucked last year. That was last offseason sucked for Danny Ainge.
So, Chris Dunn, for those who remember, I know a lot of people remember. Chris Dunn at Providence was a bulldog, two-way player, point guard who had a lot of high upside. We haven't seen him yet. We haven't in the NBA yet. He's talented. I mean, he's definitely a good defender. So you get him. Oh, I actually would rather Chris Dunn over Tristan Thompson at this point in my life.
Me too. With I don't even think it's very close.
The other thing is Bruno Fernando, if this was, you know, the 90s, he would have been a top 10 pick as a big man. That post big man is just not a real thing anymore. Yeah. You know, they want that stretch guy that can shoot from the outside. So I don't know what Bruno is going to bring to you, but I do know this. He's better than Taco Fall. And I do know that he was just a star player in the ACC.
He was really, really good in Maryland. He's been terrible at the NBA so far. I'm not expecting much out of him. But regardless, it doesn't matter. I'd rather take a shot on Fernando and Chris Dunn, although the reports coming out is that Chris Dunn's going to get swung again.
So oh, really?
He's going to be traded again. Yeah, Adam Himmelsbach last night, excuse me. Chris Dunn would provide some backcourt depth for the Celtics, but I've been hearing tonight that Boston could look to move him in a separate trade.
Okay, that's fine. The trade exception is the key there, right?
They took a $5 million expired.
That was going to expire, exactly. Yeah.
And they turned it into a $9 million trade exception, which they now have a year for. So, yes, it was. And I think that that's important because if they are going to go for a max guy, they need that trade exception, and they'll probably try and swing it, I assume, into another trade exception next year. Like, that would be the way to do it.
And then it's a salary dump for Dallas. However you want to look at this, Josh Richardson to the Celtics was a salary dump for Dallas. I like Richardson. Is he a typical swingman in the NBA that you can find anywhere? Probably.
I mean, his best position, I think, has been point guard. Like, that's his best position was point guard. Well, he didn't play point guard there.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, and he didn't play point guard in Philly. Like, they didn't allow him to do that. But with Miami, that was his best position. Like, was the point guard position, which is weird. I know that. Like, he doesn't seem like your typical point guard, but, like, I wonder if he could give you, like, some of that. Like, in my opinion, Josh Richardson is Marcus Smart light. That's what he is. You know, not as good defensively, but similar defensive profile. Not a great shooter. Scores, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14 points per game. Like, he, you know, can probably, you know, can really guard 1-2 threes. Probably some small fours. Like, he has a very Marcus Smart-ish profile.
Yeah, he signed that, what, four-year, $42 million deal with the Heat a while back. I mean, he was really ascending.
And then they traded him.
Yep. But, I mean, Butler deal. But this dude, like, can score 30 points a game. Like, he has. 2019 is probably the last time.
He
was in that Jimmy Butler deal.
His offensive game has definitely regressed the past few years. Like, definitely regressed.
Yeah. What?
Yep. And by the way, he was not good last year. He was not good last year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think to your point, he's out of position, right? He played 30 minutes a game. Played 30 minutes a game. His 3-point percentage, 33%. But he has been better, though. He has shot better than that.
Yeah. Joe, I don't know how you feel, but I feel there's one of two things coming down the pike here for the Celtics. One of two things. They're positioning themselves right now to either make a big trade now, okay? Like a big trade right now, like it could be Beal or Carl Anthony. I don't know who it is. I'm not going to speculate. They're positioning themselves to make a big trade for a big player right now, or Josh Richardson is your Evan Fournier replacement. And you're positioning yourself for cap space in 2022. Those are your two options right now, is what it looks like. And I don't think they're going to re-sign Evan Fournier.
And by the way, you can tell Stu Greeny this. If they get half a year of Evan Fournier and a year of Josh Richardson, you lost the Gordon Hayward trade, okay? Can we admit that, right? Is it okay? Would you rather have Miles Turner, a first-round pick, your 4 second-round picks back, and a year of Doug McDermott, or would you rather have half a year of Evan Fournier and a year of Josh Richardson? I think we all know. You can try and spin it, put it in the spin zone any way you want. I think it's fair, right? Now, I'm hoping they re-sign Fournier, and I know I'm hoping there's something bigger coming down the pike. Because if there isn't, then this team will be good, not great.
Did the Celtics' odds move at all?
The Celtics' odds have not moved at all.
I'll keep.
They are still 50-1 to win the title.
I'll keep this quick because we have to stay on the clock today because we can't mess around. I may have been ridiculed for a while back saying that I think that the Celtics are going to, like, I don't want to say tank it again, but they're going to have no salary going forward in the next two seasons. We're starting to see it. I said 2023. They might be able to do it next year. If they kept, like, all the guys that they have right now, between Dunn, Fernando, and Richardson, no long term on these guys. 1 year of term.
Right.
All that money comes off the books next year.
Right.
It's like 17, 18 million bucks.
Again, they'd still have to not re-sign Marcus
Smart. Marcus Smart is the key.
Okay. Like they'd have to not sign Evan Fournier. They'd have to renounce multiple people. Like, there's still a lot more to go here. Like, this is not done by any means.
Yep. It's close. Brian Robb's got a great story about it if you want to read it at Mass Live today. As well. All right, hour one is down. We'll get into hour two, and we'll feature the Sun Belt Conference coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Zone.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Zone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.